sourly and slunk off. He was replaced a few minutes later by Kumi, very red in the face. "Her Majesty requests that you do not leave the kingdom," he said. Tepic climbed onto you bastard's back and tapped the camel lightly with a prod. "She really means it," said Kumi. "I'm sure she does. She could have you thrown to the sacred crocodiles, you know." "I haven't seen many of them around today. How are they?" said Tepic, and gave the camel another thump. He rode out into the knife-edged daylight and along the packed earth streets, which time had turned into a surface harder than stone. They were thronged with people, and every single person ignored him. It was a marvellous feeling. He rode gently along the road to the border and did not stop until he was up in the escarpment, the valley spreading out behind him. A hot wind off the desert rattled the cephasia bushes as he tethered you bastard in the shade, climbed a little further up the rocks and looked back. The valley was old, so old that you could believe it had existed first and had watched the rest of the world form around it. Tepic lay with his head on his arms. Of course, it had made itself old. It had been gently stripping itself of futures for thousands of years. Now change was hitting it like the ground hitting an egg. Dimensions were probably more complicated than people thought. Probably so was time. Probably so were people, although people could be more predictable. He watched the column of dust rise outside the palace and work its way through the city, across the narrow patchwork of fields, disappear for a minute in a group of palm trees near the escarpment, and reappear at the foot of the slope. Long before he could see it, he knew there'd be a chariot somewhere in the cloud of sand. He slid back down the rocks and squatted patiently by the roadside. The chariot rattled by eventually, halted some way on, turned awkwardly in the narrow space and trundled back. "What will you do?" shouted Petracci, leaning over the rail. Tepic bowed. "And none of that," she snapped. "Don't you like being king?" She hesitated. "Yes," she said, "I do." "Of course you do," said Tepic. "It's in the blood. In the old days people would fight like tigers. Brothers against sisters, cousins against uncles. Dreadful. But you don't have to go. I need you." "You've got advisers," said Tepic mildly. "I didn't mean that," she snapped. "Anyway, there's only Kumi, and he's no good." "You're lucky. I had Dios, and he was good. Kumi will be much better. You can learn a lot by not listening to what he has to say. You can go a long way with incompetent advisers. Besides, Chidda will help, I'm sure. He's full of ideas." She coloured. "He advanced a few when we were on the ship." "There you are, then. I knew the two of you would get along like a house on fire." Screams, flames, people running for safety. "And you're going back to be an assassin, are you?" she sneered. "I don't think so. I've inhumed a pyramid, a pantheon, and the entire old kingdom. It may be worth trying something else. By the way, you haven't been finding little green shoots springing up wherever you walk, have you?" "No, what a stupid idea." Tepic relaxed. It really was all over then. "Don't let the grass grow under your feet, that's the important thing," he said. "And you haven't seen any seagulls around?" "There's lots of them today, or didn't you notice?" "Yes. That's good, I think." You bastard watched them talk a little more, that peculiar trailing-off, desultory kind of conversation that two people of opposite sexes engage in when they have something else on their minds. It was much easier with camels, when the female merely had to check the male's methodology. Then they kissed in a fairly chaste fashion, insofar as camels are any judge. A decision was reached. You bastard lost interest at this point and decided to eat his lunch again. In the beginning, it was peaceful in the valley. The river, its banks as yet untamed, wandered languidly through thickets of rush and papyrus. Ibises waded in the shallows. In the deeps, hippos rose and sank slowly like pickled eggs. The only sound in the damp silence was the occasional plop of a fish or hiss of a crocodile. Dios lay in the mud for some time. He wasn't sure how he'd got there, or why half his robes were torn off and the other half scorched black. He dimly recalled a loud noise and a sensation of extreme speed, while at the same time he'd been standing still. Right at this moment he didn't want any answers. Answers implied questions, and questions never got anyone anywhere. Questions only spoiled things. The mud was cool